Hello and welcome to the Clinical Oncology Podcast. My name is Saif Ahmad. Today we are speaking with Professor David Sebag Montefiore, Professor of Clinical Oncology at University of Leeds and Leeds Cancer Centre, and Dr. Pippa Lewis, National Radiotherapy Clinical Fellow at NHS England and the RCR. They will tell us about a really important piece of work, COVID-RT, which is a national UK-based initiative that aims to study the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic on UK radiotherapy services and patient outcomes. Their paper detailing the initiative was published in the January edition of the Clinical Oncology Journal. Of note, this interview took place last year, prior to the second peak of the COVID-19 pandemic within the UK. However, we also have some exciting updates from 2021 as to how this project is coming along. David and Pippa, thanks so much for joining us today. It's an excellent article you've put together, and I think readers will be able to take a lot from it. I wanted to start off the podcast today just by asking you what the COVID-RT initiative is.
Thank you. COVID-RT is a national initiative that's being led by CTRAD, the Clinical and Translational Radiotherapy Research Working Group. And we're funded by the National Cancer Research Institute and coordinate and lead national radiotherapy research in the UK. And what we wanted to do was to assess the impact of COVID-19 on radiotherapy, as we were very aware that we were having to respond to very major challenges posed by the pandemic and felt it was very important to assess the impact on both the service and our patients.
That's fantastic. And you've already alluded to some of the need for this, but what specifically led to COVID-RT being developed?
COVID-RT came about through a conversation between myself and Mairead Evans, the deputy chair of CTRAD. And we were aware of a number of initiatives nationally that were addressing the impact on patient care, particularly in surgery and also systemic therapy. But we felt it was really important that CTRAD addressed the impact on radiotherapy services and radiotherapy patients, because that, to our knowledge, was not being undertaken in the UK.
So thanks for talking that through, David. And before we get into details about the COVID-RT initiative, I was wondering if you could just fill us in on what the data in the wider literature is telling us about how COVID-19 is affecting cancer patients in general.
So this is very much an emerging area, and we still lack some really good, high-quality data to inform us, to be honest. At the time of the pandemic peak beginning to emerge, radiotherapy departments had to respond to two issues. Really, one was to actually plan treatments that would try and keep their patients as safe as possible, but still maintain effective treatment and also maintain an effective service. So we made those changes really based on a lack of any high quality data to quantify risk and how treatment should change. And to be honest, today, talking to you, we're still relatively unsure about the true risks. I think it's fair to say that the mortality risk associated with conventional radiotherapy treatments and concurrent chemotherapy treatments may not be quite as high as we initially thought they might be. But on the other hand, the data is really lacking to really give us any high level of confidence about that. So part of COVID was really to understand the changes, but the data is still relatively immature and underdeveloped. Conversely, in the surgical setting, we have some data that shows that patients who contract COVID or have asymptomatic COVID infection do have high risks of operative mortality. But when it comes to outpatient radiotherapy treatment and concurrent chemoradiotherapy treatment, we are still lacking high quality data to really quantify risk.
Thanks so much for that, David. And it really highlights why initiatives such as COVID-RT are so important. So could you both just talk us through what the main aims are of COVID-RT?
The main aims of COVID-RT are really to understand what changes in radiotherapy treatment schedules were implemented during the pandemic. And we want to understand why those schedule changes were implemented and to explore the impact of the changes, both on radiotherapy services and on the patients themselves. And so the sort of things that we're thinking about are whether patients who couldn't have surgical input because of pressures on surgical departments during the peak of the pandemic, whether there were patients who subsequently had radiotherapy rather than surgery, or whether radiotherapy was used as a bridge to surgery. For some patients, decisions were made to omit radiotherapy or to not go ahead with radiotherapy treatment because of the COVID pandemic. And we want to understand what the decision-making process was behind that. So whether that was patient choice or clinician choice. There were some changes that were made to radiotherapy schedules, which were based on evidence that was emerging at the time of the COVID pandemic peak. And a good example of that is the Fast Forward Breast Cancer Radiotherapy Trial, whose results came out earlier this year, giving good evidence for hypofractionation for treatment of breast cancer in the adjuvant setting. And a lot of patients were switched onto a hypofractionated regime on the basis of the evidence from that trial, which allowed patients to attend the radiotherapy departments for shorter periods of time and to really mitigate their risk against COVID itself. And so we want to really explore what sort of changes were being made in the radiotherapy departments and why those changes were being made, and understand some of the clinical decision making behind them.
Thanks so much for that. So how will this work be carried out?
So the way that we're planning on doing this is, we've had an excellent response to the COVID-RT initiative, and we've got 52 radiotherapy centres from all four nations of the UK signed up and participating in this project. And we're asking the local centres to, in the first instance, to collect their data locally in the form of a local service evaluation or audit. We're looking to gather data for all patients, adult patients, in whom radiotherapy was considered a treatment option, either radical radiotherapy or adjuvant radiotherapy. So we're not including palliative radiotherapy in this project. And we're asking them to collect a number of bits of information about the radiotherapy treatment. So whether the treatment was changed because of the COVID pandemic, or whether the initial treatment decision to go ahead with radiotherapy was unchanged, and various other pieces of information. Once we have collected all of that data locally, then our plan is that we will have a central data analysis team who will then collect those local audits, and we are going to pair the data with some of the national data sets from the Cancer Registry and the National Radiotherapy data set, and really analyse some of the impacts of the data that we've collected locally.
So one of the key things about a national initiative like this is to get buy-in on a national level so that you can get the data from all these local centres. It sounds like, from having read your article, that's gone very well. Can you tell us a bit about that?
The CT-RAD team at the start of this proposal engaged with their general membership and held three webinars, which were attended cumulatively by over 200 people, and they represented people from different disciplines, so from within the radiotherapy community, and it was those webinars which really shaped and developed the initiative, and that's really how we managed to get buy-in from across the country. In partnership, we've had participation from the Royal College of Radiologists, from the Society of Radiographers, and from IPEM, and so between us, we're representing the different disciplines within the radiotherapy community. And as a result of those webinars, word got out really to centres all across the country that this was a national initiative that we were leading, and that we were hoping we could get everybody, well, all centres across the country to join in on this. One thing we really wanted to make sure of was that, you know, during the pandemic peak, particularly, pressure on staff, all areas of medicine, but in radiotherapy was particularly high and workloads were very high. You know, radiotherapy treatments continued throughout the pandemic. And so we wanted to make sure that we were gathering good quality and helpful information, but without putting an unnecessary extra workload on radiotherapy staff. And so as a result of these webinars that were held by CTRAD, we managed to sort of develop the protocol and develop the plan for COVID-RT so that we got agreement from the participants in the webinar that how we would do the data collection, what sort of data we would be collecting, and how we could best do that to get buy-in from all the centres without putting too much pressure on them.
That's great. Thank you so much for talking that through. And one of the real take comes from that is that you got buy-in at an early stage of developing COVID-RT, which I think is really important by the sounds of things, as it allowed people to feed in from an early point. So in terms of the work that you're doing then, when do you expect to see any outputs?
I think one of the really important things about any kind of COVID research is it's important to get useful information and useful outputs from this kind of research, but we want to do that in a timely manner. There's a lot of unknowns regarding future peaks of this virus and how that's going to affect our services in the future. And one of the things that we really want to achieve from the COVID-RT project is to understand how the radiotherapy service has been impacted by the pandemic and how we can then prepare for future peaks. And so we really want to get useful and meaningful outputs from this quite soon.
In fact, since this interview was recorded last year, the team have made significant progress on this front. They now have full formal ethical approval for the work and are about to launch the central data collection and analysis phase with collaborators from the University of Oxford's Big Data Institute and CRUK. The analysis will begin from March.
One of the other aims of the project is really to look at how the how COVID-19 has impacted on the patients themselves and whether the changes in any radiotherapy treatments that have been implemented have had a difference on patient outcomes. Obviously, that type of information is going to take longer to filter through, but that's something that we will be looking at in the future. Initially, the results from the analysis of data looking at the impact on radiotherapy services, we hope, will come through quite quickly.
So you've both described a really important initiative, and pulling something like this together that involves so many different stakeholders must have been challenging. With the benefit of hindsight, is there anything you would have done differently or that you've really learned from the experience that you would take into other projects of a similar caliber?
Yes, I think there are many lessons we can learn from the whole breadth of COVID research that has taken place. We've experienced really major demand in terms of speed of response and action, which I think across the board has actually led to a fairly fragmented, somewhat silo-based approach to collecting data in its most general sense. It also, I think, it illustrates that our information systems and the compartmentalization of care means that different groups started working on different topics simultaneously and not necessarily knowing about each other's contributions. So in an ideal world, I think you would coordinate the plan, you would actually bring the specialties together, and you would try and determine rapidly the level of information you wanted to collect and how you could coordinate that across specialties and across interest groups. I think in a way that's a somewhat ambitious and perhaps unachievable goal, because we shouldn't forget the degree of pressure that we were under to respond to a really rapidly evolving landscape. But I think coordination and talking across disciplines and across groups to ensure lack of overlap and standardization of approaches and sharing best practice, I think, are things that we can learn from this response across the specialties.
So David and Pippa, thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for putting together such an excellent article on what is such a key piece of work. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and I'll hand over to Pippa to conclude.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, it's been great talking to you. I want to say that this initiative has been put together in a relatively short period of time in circumstances that are very unusual and, you know, very pressured for the entire radiotherapy community. So I think it's important to just say thank you to absolutely everybody who's contributed to this. So the COVID RT steering group have been working very hard on it, but mostly we want to thank all of the people who are contributing to the data collection in all of our participating radiotherapy centres across the country. I think times are strange and work is very busy and there's lots of pressure on people's time, and we're very grateful that people are spending their time contributing to this, what we feel is going to be a very important project. So we want to extend our thanks to all of those people. Thank you.